Welcome back to Conscious Success, the podcast where we teach you how to master your mind, expand your wealth, and enhance your health. I'm your host, Madhu, and today we're joined by Scott Greenleaf, who is many call the Austin Healer. What he's teaching us today is how do we take our thoughts, feelings, behaviors, and then physically change our chemistry, change our actual physiology and our body, and how does one do that in a way that's actually in alignment with one's highest purpose, in a way that's actually going to bring you a deep sense of satisfaction and happiness in your life. Check this out. I have so much excitement to talk with the Austin Healer,
as many people call you, Scott.
Scott, you and I have gotten to know each other for about a year now in our work together, and you're out of all the people I've worked with, everyone has their unique gifts in many ways. But one thing that's always stood out with you is you have this amazing ability to connect with so many people simultaneously and actually provide them healing experiences. And, you know, today as we're talking about, let's just say, different modalities of healing and practical ways in which people can improve their quality of life through examples like your CoHeal events, I'm really keen to understanding, like, what, out of all the healing modalities you've tried in your life, like, what inspired you to go in the direction of these particular CoHeals? Maybe you can let us know a little bit about what it looks like, the type of healing you facilitate in terms of, you know, changing people's thoughts, beliefs, behaviors, which then change their physical chemistry. And I'd like to hear a little bit more about that. And then specifically, like, what brought you in the direction of these types of services?
Yeah, thank you so much, Madhu. I just first want to say thank you so much for everything that you've done to help me step into my gifts fully and really truly change my life. So just out the gate. And yeah, to answer your question, I've been on, I guess you could call it, a spiritual journey since I was about 17. Really had my first kind of awakening and seeing that the world isn't really the one that presented typically, you know, in our upbringing and sort of the systems that we grew up in, that there's sort of more on the other side of the veil. And 19, I had sort of another awakening. It all happens in layers. And I realized I was seeing people's auras for the first time. I had never seen anything like this. And whenever they'd pay attention to me, it was like different colors and textures. It was like blasts of like, whoa. And it was really a wild experience, and it was kind of hard for me to deal with for a while because I actually thought I was going crazy.
Sure.
And I was seeing that everything is actually just a bunch of waves on top of each other, just waves on waves on waves on waves, and then come to find out that that is actually how it works. It's just, you know, we think of everything as particles. So going on, I went to University of Southern California for film production. And my friend Chris at the time taught me how to meditate and introduced me to Buddhism. He introduced me to the Tao Te Ching. I read that. And did you ever watch Carl Sagan growing up, the Cosmos?
My dad bought me these
13 disc set. And he's talking about, you know, flat land and higher dimensions, third dimension looking into the second as an allegory of, you know, if you're in the fourth dimension looking into the third, you could see inside people. Like, whoa, these concepts are so far out, and they really just got me going. And then there's one episode in particular where he's talking about sort of in India, they have the Hindu cosmology and understanding of cycles and how these cycles, some are short cycles, there's the moon cycle, and then there's these billion year long cycles, and they've known this for thousands of years. This is like ancient, like, yeah. And it just got me really excited. And I'd always wanted to go there. So when I graduated, I went and traveled India for a year and just got really into yoga. I learned about breath work and different meditations and met and studied with the Tibetan Buddhist refugee monks in the Himalayas. And that really started me on this deep sort of spiritual path. Now, it wasn't until much, much later when I actually, you know, I'd also seen going back to when I was in college, I had seen the movie about basically quantum physics and healing.
Okay.
And it was just really a seed that was planted. And I ended up writing an essay on the double slit experiment and wave function collapse and the observer effect and Schrodinger's cat and all these things and how it can relate in a practical sense to our world. And I remember people in the class like, are you going to do this for a living? No, I'm in film production. And here we are. I am doing it for a living a decade later. So that came around and I was introduced to the work of Dr. Joe Dispenza. And I did his meditations throughout 2 years, and they really helped me transform my life. You know, I had really dealt with a lot of severe depression throughout my whole life. You know, I was on Adderall at 12, and I was taking that up through college, and that really damaged my nervous system and really caused a lot of depression, actually, I found out. So when I quit that, everything started going better. But there were still a lot of lingering effects. And when I found Dr. Joe's work, I really went deep into the meditations for about 2 years before actually going to one of his events. And when I went to one of his events, I started seeing these miraculous healings taking place by heart and brain coherence. I never knew to go that deep into the energy of things and that much into gratitude and that much into love. And things start getting really wild and reality starts to look a lot different than what you're used to as you raise your frequency, these levels. And I just, you know, I made friends at these retreats that, you know, people who've healed themselves of stage 4 metastatic breast cancer, lung cancer, blindness, deafness, hearing come back, ALS, Alzheimer's, arthritis, and it's sort of miraculous, unbelievable things.
Yep.
But here, I have this background in AP physics. I remember doing equations using E=mc² in high school. And I'm like, oh my God, I'm actually using an Einstein equation to figure out a math problem and it works. And, you know, the quantum physics background, deep spirituality. Amit Goswami is another really good resource, The Visionary Window. If anybody hasn't read that, I highly recommend it. And tying all these things together, now I'm seeing it in real life, practically. People having physiological transformations, and I'm understanding the science behind it. I grew up in a doctor family. My dad's an MD. My mom's a PhD in psychology. So family doctor, family practice. So I'm understanding their framework of medicine from the Western school, essentially, very materialist. And I grew up atheist. My dad was very much, you know, spirit, there's just this thing as a soul. God's not real. Religion's sure. Made up in the mind. And, you know, it's God created man's image. And really, it's the cause of all wars. And it's a bad thing. And we should really just get rid of religion. And, you know, I grew up thinking, yeah, he has a point, right? I get that. But I started having all these mystical experiences that didn't fit that belief system. And I was forced to change my belief that there is something greater than the material world that meets the eye. There's something beyond this. And it's hard to explain, but my direct experience over and over again just kept sort of flying in the face of that belief system. So I had to change. Now, since the Dr. Joe retreats, I've since found out that there's a whole movement called the Charismatic Christian Movement. And I've gotten obsessed with healing at this time. And so what I'm seeing is very similar results and very similar transformational healings in that movement. And it's the same formula. They get into elevated emotions, states of gratitude, of joy, and love. And then they select an intention. So that's the thought, that's the electrical signal from the field. And they're drawing it to themselves with the magnetism of these emotions in their heart. So now you have an electromagnetic signature. You change the information in the field, you change matter, and people get miraculously healed. You can look up Benny Hinn. You can look up Catherine Kuhlman. Her ministry, she has a book about this thick of just testimonials from terminally ill attendees that were healed at her events. Just terminally ill. Mm-hmm. She would walk through the kitchen at the end of the events and the chefs in the back would fall over and they would get healed miraculously. She was kind of the first like faith healer. I would not have understood or frankly believed any of this if I didn't have the scientific background and understanding to assign meaning to what was actually taking place. Mm-hmm. So there's many more. Michael Koulianos in Florida, I went and visited their ministry. Bethel and Reading, I witnessed in person more healings there. And so there's just this phenomenon. And I started getting into this work myself and I wanted to share this love that I was feeling. And so I moved here to Austin. I just started a local group and it started small and it's grown and it's my favorite thing in the world.
Wow. So, I mean, I won't even do it justice, but just to try to get an understanding of that, the way things evolved, growing up atheistic and very doubtful, you started to have experiences that then didn't fit in that paradigm. So you're like, okay, I got to start growing my conception. And then through experiences and knowledge and understanding things like, okay, everything is vibration. Every atom is vibrating. Therefore, everything in this universe is actually vibrational, as opposed to, say, a more woo-woo perspective of, so sometimes it's a concept of like, everything vibrates and it's all rainbows and magic. It's like, no. Literally, everything is vibrating. And so you are understanding things from a very logical and scientific perspective. And then from there, becoming acquainted with Eastern conceptions of reality, like the cosmos, which, you know, in the Vedic concept or the Indic concept, there's a concept that everything is cyclical, which means that there's time frames of life and that everything gets regenerated after different cycles. That's maybe for another topic of podcast, but concepts like that opened your understanding, kept kind of expanding your paradigm. And then as you tried different types of meditations pretty much around the world, you traveled pretty extensively. Mm-hmm. Joe Dispenza's work really started to solidify because his teachings, which became further validated with other types of practice out there, teach one how to, on an emotional and psychological level, start to create new, say, neural circuitry, which eventually changes the chemistry of the body, which can literally heal chronic illness, I mean, terminal illness to a certain degree. And that's what inspired you to start not only benefiting from it yourself, but you started sharing it with others.
Correct. Yes. My first exposure to really the fact that, you know, we have more power over our physiology and our being than we are typically told is really, it was actually Wim Hof. I started doing Wim Hof breaths. I've been doing breath work for a little over 5 years now. And I was doing Wim Hof every single day, and I would, you know, change your chemistry by doing that. You increase your alkalinity, and you're altering the pH balance in your body, and you're tapping into the nervous system, the cerebral spinal column, the hypothalamus, everything kind of comes online. Wim Hof calls it, you know, getting high on your own supply. And that was my first real, very concrete understanding. Okay, I actually have control over my physiology just with these very simple tools, these simple practices. And I had read the Master Key System. And
that's the way with that?
I can't remember the author, but it's written very in like this weird way, but the whole way it kind of breaks your regular mind patterns into understanding that thought is the genesis of your reality. And you really are the creator of your reality with your thoughts and your emotions. So when I had this foundational understanding, and then I saw the results of, you know, 2,000 people in a room all tuning into perfect wholeness and health and falling in love with that and then getting out of the way, That's the key point. Everybody wants to say, oh, I'm a healer. It's like, I'm not the healer. There's a greater mind. There's a higher intelligence, whether you want to call it God, source, creator, universe, Krishna, Jesus, whatever name you want to put on it, Yahweh. There's cultures all around the world. They all have come up with their own names, but we're all talking about the same thing. That source of life is what will come through you. When you lay down the character, you lay down your ego, your sense of self, and you surrender to it and let it know, do what it knows how to do best. This autonomic intelligence that's beating your heart, that's metabolizing your food, that's digesting, that's doing repair and regenesis when you get a cut. It's like, let that force of life do what it knows how to do best. Let that intelligence do its work. So the more we can surrender and let go and get out of the way, essentially, now you're on the right track.
If you've ever considered having a podcast, especially if you're expert at what you do, I cannot suggest more highly using Podigy's service, which is what we use. If you like this production here, I highly suggest you reach out to Podigy through their contact in the show notes below to run and host your podcast. I went through a bunch of different teams, tried a bunch of different things. No one came close to what I got post-production from Podigy. And even just making a launch easy, taking your content, sharing it, making it presentable, please check out Podigy. If you're great at what you do and you've ever considered having a podcast, I really am excited for you to try them out as well. I love this idea. It's like the sun's everywhere. And in every culture and every language, you might call the sun by a different name, but we're still talking about the same sun. And so that same supreme intelligence, the way you can actually facilitate healing is to, as you say, get out of the way, or, you know, channel, be a conduit for that energy to come through you. I actually,
when I was a yielded vessel. It doesn't want broken vessels. It doesn't want golden vessels. It wants yielded vessels.
Interesting. I love that concept. When I was in my early 20s, I was learning Ayurvedic Marma therapy. For those not familiar, it's an ancient practice from India of ultimately improving the cellular intelligence of the body, improving your quality of life. And one of the concepts that was new to me at this point is I had heard of healers, like people who have the capacity to heal. And I was always like, yeah, maybe. Okay, why not? But this idea there was the half of the practice, other than the actual physical systems of getting the body to heal through body work, through diet, through nutrition, lifestyle, et cetera. Half of the work was actually training oneself to become divinely conscious in such a way so that, as you said, well, move out of the way and become and actually facilitate that healing. Because the challenge is, if you were a healer, then you're going to empty your cup, you know?
Correct. Like, that's what people forget, is they're thinking it's their energy and they drain themselves. It gives their energy. It's not. You let a greater intelligence, this love, move through you, and then your cup is not being drained at all. It's just constantly overflowing.
It's like a waterfall. There was even visualizations where it's like you picture yourself, okay, it's like coming through, and you can almost, and you feel it. I could say I would feel the difference when I would facilitate, you know, healing. It was like, okay, I never am I getting depleted. Now I'm like energized. I would always feel better after, quote unquote, providing healing for someone else. So I really value that perspective you give. I'd be curious to hear, could you walk us through, say, even a mini session, or what could we start to do practically to create, say, maybe even starting with some breath work or whatever you feel might be best to start to create that internal environment and landscape that then facilitates physiological healing?
Well, easy at home for people that are just listening is just start by paying attention to your thoughts. And start by paying attention to the relationship that your thoughts have with your emotions and your heart. And when you can start to control your thoughts with a little bit of intention, now, you know, your body might say, well, wait a minute, we've been running a different program for the last 32 years. We have all these highways that we've built and pathways for certain, you know, metabolites and hormones and, you know, and the endocrine, all these chemicals, you know, the greatest pharmacy in the universe that we know of is right here. It's our body. And we can produce all kinds of things. And so when we have these habit patterns, the subconscious mind that's built in, these neural wires, when we start to change that, it's going to fall back into those groove automatically. And that's when it really starts to matter, is when it's difficult, when you want to give up, when the going gets tough, right when you want to give up, if you just go a little further, that's always where there's a quantum leap and there's a shift. And that's when the healing occurs. That's when the biology changes. And it took me a long time with my upbringing to really accept that it works. It's like, you know, I'm part of these healings and we're all in groups and we're having these peak love experiences and seeing this person as well. And then we open our eyes and they get up, oh my God, my pain is gone. Oh my God, my migraine completely went away. I can see, I can, you know, and I'm like over and over and over and over again. And I wouldn't even expect anybody listening to this to just believe me. And I'm, you know, I'm all for skepticism. Yeah. But finally, there was just a moment. It was like, you know, 50 times in a row and you know, a couple of weeks. It's just like, okay, I know it works now. I know it because it's without fail. And I see it every single time. So when someone, going back to your question, goes through a sequence with me, I can do it remotely, virtually online, or I can do it in person. There's a advanced breath technique, you could call it, that I have learned from a very wonderful teacher, and I teach people, where you essentially, it's very simple. You take three breaths and then you inhale and you push the energy from the base of your spine up into the brain. And when it moves up the cerebral spinal column through the third ventricle, into the third ventricle, into the cavity inside, right where your third eye is, your pineal gland, it'll activate this gland and it'll start to release new chemicals. When this happens, it also turns the mind off. So you get a break from the monkey mind. It really is a beautiful shortcut to turning that mind off that people will spend years meditating and maybe get a glimpse of.
Yeah.
So this breath is a facilitation of that. And once that happens, when the ego is kind of put to sleep, it's like shutting the hard drive down and turning it back on. You know, your Wi-Fi doesn't work. You want to unplug it, plug it back in. Suddenly it works. That's kind of what this is. We turn down the volume by really switching it off, switching it back on. And what it feels like is an out-of-body experience. But you're also deep in the body because you go into nothing and everything. And the mind can't really fully grasp it because you're out of your mind. Your mind's off. You're in the nameless, the unnameable. The Tao Te Ching starts with the phrase, the name that can be named is not the eternal name. So it's undefinable. So that's the place where you go when your mind turns off.
Limbo.
Yeah, it's just raw you and that's it. It's just the observer, the background awareness behind everything. The mind comes on, you come back and it's like, whoa, there's been a clearing. You didn't even know that there was gunk or junk in your nervous system. The stress, and it's just gone. Now we're in a really great place to create from because it's like a blank slate. It's a white canvas. And now we can call in those higher frequencies, whether, you know, call them from the celestial realm, the quantum field, the kingdom of heaven. These are kind of the same concepts. When you tune into those, you now become it because there's nothing else in the way. There's no more friction. There's no more blockages. These structures are kind of cleared out for a moment. So we do the breath together. We teach that. And then we get into community and a group because there's strength in numbers. So Dr. Joe says the collective network of observers determines reality. So you have all a community and everybody's selecting a common intention. There's power to that. It's like one little wave and then you get 500 people and they're all on the same wavelength. Now your amplitude is much greater because there's that constructive wave interference.
Sure.
So it becomes stronger. And that's where we're seeing amazing, amazing results.
So if I understand, there's a way in which you, and I also should say, I love that, again, we're actually looking at things anatomically, physiologically.
Yes.
And we're understanding the mechanism of how these things work as opposed to say, even though these things might have been around, there's a way in which they can seem woo-woo. I know, as you're mentioning, we've had many conversations about you and I both have quite the skeptical edge, which is great. I actually love people who doubt and challenge things. It's like, you should not just accept anything that's said on this podcast or any other podcast just because it was said. Rather, doubt it. And look at now we can understand there's mechanism behind these thoughts or behind these practices. And so it sounds like you take a conscious thought, and then from that thought, you bring it into a space of feeling. Mm-hmm. From that feeling, then you bring it to space. What you feel, you then bring into action, and from the action creates the results in your life. And some of the ways that you facilitate that is, number one, putting people into environment, say, first with some of these breathwork exercises, and by, let's say, consciously controlling the energy within the body, put yourself into a space where you can say, I love, you unplug the Wi-Fi router.
Yeah.
Leave it off for 30 seconds, plug it back in.
Count to three, put it back in.
Yeah, right. And so you actually have a reset, just like your nervous system, which is literally electricity, gets a type of unplug. And then that space that's then created is where, let's just call it a reset of sorts. Like, you actually have the space to think, to observe yourself, the individual, beyond the mind, beyond the body per se.
Yes.
And what to speak of doing it in group, in a collection. I mean, everyone knows it. Everyone knows it's easier to do things when you're surrounded by a bunch of people who have that same mission intention.
Accountability.
We're social mammals. Yeah. And as social mammals, that's how we function. And therefore, doing everything you shared, but especially adding a group of people with that same intention, that's really where these almost astronomical results come that you've seen. Is that correct?
Yeah, these quantum leaps, these shifts that just happen in no time. It's like, whoa, that space that's created when we do the breath it's a vacuum, and nature abhors a vacuum. And so we get to choose what we're going to fill that empty space with. And so we collectively tune into what would it feel like to have perfect health. And then we see that in another person, we fall in love with it. It's a new way of getting what we want. Now, I want to go back to briefly, you know, we just said, okay, you're not your mind, you're not your body. And just, we kind of glazed over that. That was a huge awakening for me. That was one of my biggest spiritual awakenings. I read the book when I was 20 years old, A New Earth by Eckhart Tolle.
Yep.
And there was a sentence that it really just separated my consciousness, my observer, from my animal mind, my thinking mind. And it was like pop, and I went, whoa, I thought I was my mind this whole time, and I'm not. And I now I'm watching my mind. I'm just stillness. And so I just didn't want to glaze over that, because many people haven't had that realization who may be listening to this. And if you had, great.
If you have, it's still great to hear it again.
Yeah, it's a great reminder. And I always need to be reminded that, you know, of the present moment.
Yeah, I love this. It's like, I'm not my body, I'm not my mind, I'm something divine. And we can perceive that because, as you mentioned, you can observe the mind. Therefore, it's not you. And you can change the mind. You can, as a conscious entity, you can look at the mind, modulate. Same thing with the body, right? You know you're not the body because you can change the body, as opposed to a lump of random chemicals that...
Yeah.
Yeah, which you love the lump of chemicals. Don't get me wrong. As you mentioned, the body's one job is to keep you alive, keep you safe, keep you healing. And therefore, like you were so eloquently alluding to earlier, it's like, let the body do the one thing it does best and get out of the way. But so we appreciate the body. It's not to neglect it. We appreciate the mind. It's what allows us, the prefrontal cortex, to ask these questions, have these conversations.
It's a great
but
tool.
But ultimately, to transcend the body, transcend the mind, and understand we're something beyond it. We're that divine spark of consciousness and conscious success.
Yes.
And I actually want to hear from you how we always talk about this, as you know, this idea of what is success, because everyone has a very different definition. What I'd like to hear from you is, how would you define the term success?
Well, I would define the term success, and whatever goal that you set for yourself is achieving that goal. So it's totally subjective. Whatever anybody else is projecting onto you as success, well, what if you don't want that thing? Like, what if you don't care about getting, you know, a big house and whatever? What if you're happy being in a cabin in the woods, you know, with an alchemy school, like
whatever it is.
Yeah, sort of a shout out to our friend Madana Max. Yeah. And blessings to him. He just moved to Portland and he's starting his school of alchemical medicine.
That's right.
But, you know, he doesn't want a big mansion, but society might be projecting onto him. Congratulations for him. He's found that goal that he set, achieving that will be success for him. So whatever goal that you set for yourself, whatever vision you have for your life, meeting that's success for me. It doesn't have to be this blanket, you know, imposed societal concept that everybody needs to conform to, because it's up to you. This is your life. You get to have the life that you want to live for yourself. Mm-hmm. For me personally, I stepped into this work with a lot of faith. I had a lot of limiting beliefs about if this was even possible for me to support myself and to sustain myself with this work, because it's super far out there. And I get a lot of people that hear what I'm talking about, you know, probably like, this kind of sounds like BS, you know. It's like, hey, I get it. That's what I thought.
Yeah.
And now it's my life, and I didn't even know it was possible, any of this stuff. And the feeling I get from it every day is my cup is just overflowing, and to be able to share and impact other people's lives. So surely there's a way to do this. I was in film for about 5 years in Hollywood. You know, I kind of did an about face out of the industry when I kind of made it. It was sort of this false victory. I saw sort of hazing in the underbelly, and this is before Me Too, and my gut told me just get out. Come to later find out it was probably a great decision. I went into real estate for about 6 years. I learned a lot about, you know, construction and building and real estate law and dealing with delinquent tenants and deferred maintenance. And, you know, I developed a lot of business skills at that point. But eventually, you know, I was making great money. I wasn't really happy doing what I was doing. And I took a leap of faith and just said, you know what? If it's possible for others, it has to be possible for me. One story I heard that really inspired me was, there was a guy who had diagnosed with a terminal illness, I believe it was cancer, for 6 months to live. Mm-hmm. His doctors gave him they put him on notice, basically, of 6 months. And he was a lawyer, and his life was very stressful. So yeah, he has cancer, kind of no, no big surprise.
Of course.
And he said, you know what, if I have 6 months to live, I'm going to do what I've always wanted to do, make statues. And so he quit working as an attorney, and he bought the materials. I think it was brass or, you know, clay. And he started making these busts, these sculptures, and just giving them away for free to his friends and family. And people started, wow, these are really good. And they started paying him for these sculptures. And suddenly kind of realizes it's been 8 months, 9 months. Mm-hmm. He's not dead. And he's actually loving what he's doing.
Happier than ever, right?
And then, you know, a year goes by, he realizes he's actually making more money than he was as an attorney. And, you know, 2 years goes by and his cancer went away. Because he changed his lifestyle, he changed, the stress levels completely went down, he did what he loved, and he was more abundant. He was more successful than he was doing the job that he thought he had to do in order to get the paycheck, in order to provide for his wife and kids, whatever it was. So when I heard that, I went, it has to be possible for me. Mm-hmm. There's, if I'm adding value to other people, I'm adding value to other people's lives, then I'm going to be taken care of as long as I value myself. And that's a huge lesson that I learned from you. So when I took this leap of faith, I gave my services away for free for a whole year right when I moved to Austin. And that was essential for me. I was getting my grounding. I built community. I started falling in love with these people that I was serving. And I gained this skill set. It was kind of like going to residency. And then it got to a point where I, you know, had burnt out a lot of my savings. And I said, okay, I actually... You know, if I'm going to be able to continue,
make some money.
I got to make some money. And what I got the message, this voice spoke to me in my heart. It said, Scott, stop hogging up all the giving. Mm. You're being selfish. You're not letting anybody else have the joy of giving to you. I went, oh my God. Because I had thought it was reversed. It's like, no, it's selfish to receive.
Sure.
You should just give. I had all these limiting beliefs around money and finance. It's like, well, how good do you feel when you give somebody a gift and they receive it gracefully with so much gratitude? Thank you. It's like, yeah, that feels good. I love giving. I was hogging that experience all for myself. I wasn't letting anybody have that experience by giving to me. It's like, I needed to receive. So life has an interesting, funny way of teaching us these lessons when we don't listen. I broke my hand and I literally couldn't do my work. I couldn't do anything. And I had to ask for help. And it forced me to humble myself and to receive from people for months. And it was perfect. Around that exact same time was when Madana introduced me to you. We hopped on a call. And I'm very hesitant at first when I'm approaching anything that's, you know, a leap for me. And I eventually felt into it and it was so aligned. And I said, yes. And we started to work together and you helped me put together an offer that nobody else could have. I don't think that it was in my world. Nobody else was helping me do this. Nobody else would have. It was perfect. And I really think it was just divinely orchestrated and aligned that you were able to come into my life at the perfect time, help me put this offer together. And in 1 month I launched. And it was a massive success.
Yeah.
It was a huge success. That was a moment in my life I'll never forget. And it was a transformation for me in valuing my own service, valuing really myself, my own self-worth, my worthiness, addressing a lot of these core wounds that you go into in your program, and really establishing within myself that this truly is what I'm supposed to be doing, what I'm called to do. When do you want to call it your dharma or your higher purpose or your soul's mission or your path or whatever it is, ikigai in
whatever
Japanese.
Whatever term you give,
whatever.
We're talking about the same thing.
We're talking about the same thing that solidified and anchored it in. Mm. It is possible. And it was such a huge shift. And then the people that I was serving in this, it was a three-month container, the first one that I did, was mind-blowing. I mean, they had so many, I had so many testimonials that were way out beyond what I thought I was actually even going to be able to provide. What I learned was when you really charge for your services what they're actually worth, the people that are paying get way more out of it. Yep. I started taking myself more seriously.
Yep.
They started taking the work more seriously. Everybody got more out of it. So it's almost like an obligation to like find that piece out. And I just know a lot of, you know, wellness people, or they have big hearts. And so they don't want to, you know, oh, it's okay. They want to just give handouts all the time. I think that's people in sort of the wellness entrepreneurial
space that we're in.
That's a huge block for people. So you've helped me tremendously and I just can't thank you enough.
I am so happy working with you, Scott. I mean, let me be very clear. First of all, thank you. Let me be very clear. my happiness is not just that you're successful, but it's because I want you to be successful, because what you have to share with others has been so transformational. I mean, some of the testimonials I've heard of the people who've gotten support from you, and just from the little bit of experience I've had, it's just, I'm so impressed with your ability to help others. And I mean, speaking with, how do people learn from you? How do they connect with you? How can they experience some of your healing, which I can't suggest highly enough.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah, if you want to connect with me, I'm on Instagram. You can go to my website, scottgreenleaf.com, to just look at whatever my most recent and current offerings are. If you'd like to experience my services, then send me a DM or just reach out to my email, scott@scottgreenleaf.com, and my team will get back to you and we'll give you a free strategy session, or we'll discover and see, you know, if it makes sense working together.
I love it. I really do suggest people try this, because again, there's healing, which, like, you go, you feel better, you leave, and then everything's the same 3 days later, yeah, a week later. But this is something very different that we can theoretically talk about, but it's not until you actually physically experience it that everything gets properly understood. And let's say everything is understood as it's supposed to be understood with, yeah, this type of healing practice. Scott, again, I'm so grateful to work with you. I'm so grateful to watch you just change the lives of others and become consciously successful in the process of doing it. And I am so excited for others to get a flavor or a taste of what you have to offer. Thank you for joining us today.
Thank you, Mario.
Keep it conscious. So again, if you enjoy these topics and want to explore them deeper, join our Conscious Success community, where we not only go far deeper into them, but you can connect with other like-minded individuals. You can join our Conscious Success community at the link in our show notes below. And I really do hope to see you soon.